morning, everyone. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, please. Genesis chapter 2. Just a short passage. In Genesis chapter 2, we'll read verses 1. To verse 3. The word of the Lord says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Just pray and commit this time now unto the Lord. Father, we thank you that we can worship you with psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. And Lord, we just pray that we would now quieten our hearts. I pray you would prepare us as we meet you through your word. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. I pray, Lord, that you would minister to us, minister to me. Lord, we need you. We need your word. We need your guidance and direction. We need your help. We can do nothing without you. Pray, Lord, that you would bless this time, bless the word to us, may it be fruitful in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a lot of talk around the new year and the new decade. And as I was thinking and praying about what the Lord would have me speak on, we were talking this morning and encouraged this morning on what God would be having us to do. And I think this evening it's going to be a bit more around how God would have us to do what he has for us this year. So as we start off into 2020, a new year and a new decade, there are a lot of things that will be new and unknown. New friends, new family, new places, new experiences, new challenges. There's going to be a lot of new things that we will face. Nonetheless, amongst all of this newness and all this unknown, some things are going to be continuing on as they were. There are things in life which we must always face, things in life we must always experience, and things which we cannot avoid. One such thing is a four-letter word, work. Work. It's something which has been a part of everyone's life throughout all generations, from the Garden of Eden right up until now, and I think by all accounts for all eternity, in a sense. Work. I think every single one of us here are familiar with it. We're all acquainted with work. We're all engaged with it in some shape or form. We work at home. We work at school. We work in our vocational jobs, which we would typically call work, but it's much broader than that. We work in our churches. We work in our communities. But none of us can escape it. And everywhere we look, there is work going on. And our work has always been and always will be a necessary part of this life. For many of us, we've enjoyed a break over Christmas, and we've either just started back at work or we're looking forward to starting back in our vocation work over the coming days and weeks. And as thinking about this and thinking about the lessons and the experiences that God has taught me through work, I'm not sure how many messages, wherever the Lord leads and guides and directs, I'd like to explore what the biblical philosophy of work is, what God says about work. And tonight, I trust, will be a very brief message. And there's just two points that I'd like to consider. Number one, why we should work. And secondly, God's approach to work. And that should give us insight as to how we should go about our work this year. If we were to ask a typical person's view in the street of work and what their feelings are about work, probably often be met with a cringe maybe a complaint, a resentment, an annoyance. It's seen like a disturbance at times, something that gets in the way of what we want to do. It's kind of a necessary evil, that they would say. And this is kind of fleshed out. I came across this quote in a book that was called, in the 1980s, The Abolition of Work. And this really summarises what the world sees work as. It says, "No one should ever work. Work is the source of nearly all the misery in the world. Almost any evil you'd care to name comes from working or living in a world designed for work. In order to stop suffering, we have to stop working." Very interesting view there. And certainly not according to the Word of God. And we must be careful that our attitude to work and how we approach our work is not according to this, that we see work as a necessary evil. We see work as a source of misery. But we must have an attitude and how we approach work and what we think about work according to the Word of God. You know, in Romans we are instructed to be not conformed to this world. The world is actively trying to conform us to its philosophy, but instead we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds through the Word of God, that we might prove what God's will is in every situation in this life. And in a stark contrast to these assertions that this book makes, God in His Word provides a clear purpose and a reason for working and how we should approach it. So briefly, firstly, why should we work? In one of my previous messages, I touched on some of the purposes of that God has given us in this life. And it was in the context of us being purposeful in what our purposes are, how we should be approaching what we need to do. And one of those purposes was in relation to work. God's purpose for us in this life is that we should work. It's a reality, it's what we'll see. There are clear commandments and expectations throughout the scriptures outlining the need for mankind to work. And you'll probably see that from the first page to the last. And we're here in Genesis, so if we turn over just a page, I trust, to chapter 28, we're going to see a few examples of these commandments and expectations in why we should work, the need for us to work. In the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 28, God gives an instruction to Adam and Eve as well there. And he says in verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Furthermore, then in verses 15 of chapter 2, we see a bit more of this expanded, specifically around this garden of Eden. It says in verse 15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden." Why? "To dress it and to keep it." You see, the reality is God created human beings to work. The first instruction God gave Adam and all mankind was to work. He had an instruction. He had something that they were to do, to fulfill. They were to multiply and fill the earth, subdue and rule over the earth, as well as specifically cultivate and maintain this Garden of Eden. They were to live as a reflection of God, caring for the earth as God cared for all of His creation. In the image of God we were made, and in the image of God we were to live. And from the very beginning of time, mankind, we have all had this responsibility given by God to work. Just a few verses to highlight this. As part of the Ten Commandments, God, obviously to the people of Israel, instituted a day of rest, but He makes it clear, 6 days thou shalt labour. So one day there's a day of rest, but what about the other 6 days? There are 6 days there is to be work. 6 days thou shalt labour and do all thy work. And it's not just in the Old Testament that there's commandments, but also in the New Testament, Paul exhorting the church at Ephesus just before he used to head back to Jerusalem and to be then taken to Rome. He says in Acts 20, verses 35, "I have showed you all things, how that so labouring, working, Ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And again, then Paul exhorts the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11, he says, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. So there's a command that Paul gave to the Thessalonians. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verses 22-23, a well-known verse, a parallel in Ephesians chapter 5, servants in all things... obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Work. It was not just commanded by God, but it's also praised and encouraged. And God makes it clear that there's a reward. There's a reward for our labours, for our efforts. And just two verses in Proverbs, Solomon is quite acquainted with it. He says in verses 4 of chapter 14 of Proverbs, where no ox are, the crib is clean. You don't have an ox, you don't have to worry about mess, you don't have to worry about cleaning and all that kind of stuff. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. And then in verses 23 of chapter 14, in all labor there is profit. In all work, in all effort, there is profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. See, there's a clear and consistent directive from the very beginning and throughout the scriptures that we are to be work, that we are to be busy in a sense, labouring. And God has given mankind work to do in this life on earth. Okay, God did not just create us and then just leave us to do what we wanted. God gave us instructions. And we've been given the responsibility to look after all that has been entrusted to us. We've been entrusted ourselves, in a sense, our families, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and even as we saw back, way back in Genesis 1, this earth and everything therein. And being faithful, as I said, Adam and Eve, in the image of God, were to look after the earth as God looked after the universe itself. And we are to be being faithful with what God has entrusted us with as a reflection of God's faithfulness over all of his creation. Us in the image of God. It's not just ourselves, but it's also our nature and what we do. All of us being made in the image of God are to reflect the character of God. And our lives, by reflecting the character of God, are not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify God. And we see this at the end in Revelation chapter 4, verses 11, where the 4 and 24 elders are around, and there's this picture of the heavens worshipping God, and they say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." That includes us. God is to receive glory from us. And in practical terms, therefore, Paul makes it really simple and really clear in 1 Corinthians 10:31, where to do, whatever we do, is to bring glory to God. He says, whether therefore you eat or drink, even the most simplest of things, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we're to glorify God in all areas of life, including our responsibilities, including our work. We're to glorify God by faithfully fulfilling his commands and his directives in his word. And that includes work. And see, the term here, glorify, is in a sense, means to give an accurate representation. It's exalting one's good and honourable character or their achievement. Therefore, if we're to glorify God in our work, any work we do ought to represent and reveal God's character, reveal his goodness, reveal his righteousness, his faithfulness, his excellence, his love. So how then can we approach our work in a way that is consistent with God's character and ultimately glorifying his name. And in answering this, I'd like us to go back to our main text that we read earlier in Genesis chapter 2. We're going to be focusing on the first time the scriptures reference God's work. You don't have to look very far to see God's work. And the first time, it is in relation to the work that God did in chapter 1, the creation week. And we see here in chapter 2 that verses 1 to 3 is a summary or conclusion or the work of the work that God did in chapter 1. It says in verses 2 of chapter 2, and on the seventh day God ended all his work which he had made. So there was work in chapter 1 which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And in verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in all it he had rested, he rested from his work which he had created and he made. So what was it that God did? I'm sure many of us are familiar, but I don't want to assume, and it's a good for us to be refreshed in terms of the wonder and the power of what God had done, the work that God created and made in the 6 days. So in quickly, day one, there was an earth mass created in a sense. There was light and darkness, and it was divided. Day and night was established. That was the work on day one. On day two, God's work was separating water from water, and there was atmosphere established. In day three, God's work continues, where he gathers the water together and creates dry land alongside reproducing vegetation. The earth and the seas were established. The work continues on day four, where God created the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule by night, and alongside the rest of the universe. And I love it how it says in verses 16 of chapter 1, it says, and he made the stars also. And we still don't know the edge of the expanse that God has created. Just a little reference, not much there, but the expanse of God's work. In day 5, God continues his work. He creates reproducing birds of the air and fish of the sea. And finally, on day 6, God finishes his work, which we read in chapter 2. He creates reproducing land animals as well as man in his own image. You see, work existed prior to the fall. Work is not a part of the curse. It's not something we must endure because of the fall. Work, alongside everything that God created, including what God had said, which includes God commanding Adam and Eve to work, was beheld and declared at the end of creation very good. It was pronounced very good. And that includes work. That includes work. So from observing and thinking and reflecting upon these 6 days of creation, God's work, I see there are three elements which highlight God's approach to work and something for us to think about in our work, how God approached work. You see, God honouring and God reflecting work is deliberate design with focused effort to achieve a valued outcome. That's deliberate design with focused effort to achieve a valued outcome. And we'll look at these three very briefly. Deliberate design. How did God approach his work? He approached his work with deliberate design. See, God was thoughtful and purposeful in how he created the heaven and the earth. It was intelligent design. It was intentional design. See, God didn't just make it up as he went along. He didn't just let it happen by chance. He wasn't lazy or blasé about what he was doing. There was an order and there was a structure. So each day built upon the other. Each day's creative work was dependent upon the previous day's work. day 6 could not happen without day 1 to 5 happening. God's work had deliberate design. Secondly, focused effort. God's work in the beginning involved focused effort. See, God gave his entire attention to creation from start to finish, day 1 to day 6. He took responsibility to follow through with it until its completion. He didn't stop on day 3, giving up or because he couldn't be bothered, he just didn't feel like it, he just didn't keep going with it. He didn't abdicate either from his responsibility to finish what he had started, leaving it to someone else to deal with. He didn't allow distractions to turn him aside from completing the 6 days of creation. He didn't procrastinate, delaying or putting off having to start or finish this creative work. He didn't complain or grudgingly do it either. See, God faithfully continued day after day, and he saw his creation work through to the end. He saw it through to the end. God's work had a focused effort. And finally, a valued outcome. How God approached his work is he sought after a valued outcome. You see, God examined and assessed the quality of his creation work. And we can see that after each day, except for day 2. And we can talk about that later on as to why. God declares that each day was good at the end of his work. He determined that he had done a good job, and when he did, he took pleasure in the outcome. As I said, each time he progressed, he saw and concluded that it was good. And once he had finished it in its entirety, he declared it to be very good. And we see that in chapter 1, verses 31. And God saw everything that he had made. That's days 1 to day 6. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. It was very good. See, God determined that his work was a quality, worthwhile output. It was finished. It was done. It was accomplished what was designed, and it brought satisfaction and joy. It was something that almost he could take a step back from and just assess and proverbially put the hands on the hips and say, yeah, this is good. This is really good. See, God's work had a valued outcome. And God has showed us by his example of how we should approach our work with deliberate design, focused effort to achieve a valued outcome. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Creation shows us God's work. And even today, we still appreciate, enjoy, and very much rely upon God's work at creation. We look around and we see God's work. We see its fine-tuned complexity. We see its self-sufficiency. We see the incomprehensible expanse of the heavens and the beauty of it. No matter how many times the sun rises and the sun sets, people are still taking photos of it. That hasn't changed, but it's the beauty in God's creation, in his work. See, it reveals the awesomeness of God and ultimately brings him glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. And our work today, well, it can take many shapes and forms. It's certainly not as creative as what God has, but our work is still good and honourable. And our work in itself is not defined by our abilities. It's not defined by our location. Our work is not defined by our responsibilities. Our work is not defined by the amount of money that we earn. Things like cooking a meal, hanging out the washing, watering the garden, cleaning an office building, studying our Bibles, building a house, feeding a baby, serving a customer, or even designing an aeroplane. This is all work. This is all engaging in an activity to achieve a useful pre-designed purpose or result. It can be simple or complex, near or far, thankless or well paid. And whatever our work is, if there is purpose and design, effort and perseverance and a valued output, then what it is a reflection of God's work. Whatever our work and responsibilities are, we all have them. We all have activities and responsibilities. We can all follow God's pattern of work. So God instituted work with creation prior to the fall. And from his creative work over the 6 days, he's shown us a clear pattern or approach as to how we are to work. In closing, some thoughts and questions for us and for me. How is it that we are approaching our work and our responsibilities, particularly as we head into the new year, and as we're encouraged this morning to really think and seek the Lord as to what he would have us to do? The important thing as well is, how would God have us to do it? And we've seen here deliberate design, focused effort, and valued outcome. How are we going to approach our work, and how are we approaching it today? Is it consistent with God's pattern? Are we reflecting God in how we work in our day-to-day responsibilities? Design. Do we plan? Are we thoughtful and deliberate in how we approach our work? Or do we just leave it up to chance, see how things go? Are we prepared and organized? Or are we leaving it up to others? Do we bring order and structure to our work, to our responsibilities? Or are we just making it up as we go along? What about our effort? Do we take responsibility for our work? Do we see it through to the end? Or do we just give up or get over it when we lose interest? Or how about avoiding work entirely and just procrastinating? Do we find any excuse to put off what we should do? What about distractions? Do we allow ourselves to be inundated with distractions? That is probably my weakest one right there. Distractions. Are we not focused on what we should be doing, getting distracted by what we shouldn't be? What about our outcomes, our outputs, what we deliver? Are we applying ourselves and giving it our best? Or do we just do the absolute bare minimum, giving more of ourselves to what we prefer rather than what God has entrusted with us? And do we ensure that what we've done is up to standard? Or are we just leaving it up to someone else to fix, leaving it up to someone else, abdicating from our responsibility? Whatever our work is and whatever our responsibilities are, God has given us a clear way, a clear approach as to how we should complete it, how we can apply ourselves and follow God's pattern of work. And really, whatever our work and responsibilities are, we can give ourselves to it with a focus and a confidence that we might be able to reflect God's character and then ultimately glorify his name. Amen.